really, we do not have the ability as humans, as males, for sure, to love our wife the way that Christ loved the church. It does require being inhabited by the Spirit, but not just being inhabited by Him. Because all of us profess to know Christ. But when it comes down to how many of us are actually on a daily basis and an hour by hour and minute by minute basis, how many of us are actually walking in the Spirit? And, you know, I tell people all the time, the key to marriage can really be reduced to four words. Walk in the Spirit. Can everybody remember those four words? Because if you do that, well, the fruit of it in our life is love. I just don't love her anymore. Okay. Then get filled with the Spirit, dude. I'm just not happy anymore. Okay, well, get filled with the Spirit, man. Because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Well, we just fight like cats and dogs. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. We can just go on through it. Listen, all of the answers to marriage are really in those four words. You guys don't need a seminar. Maybe we do on walking in the Spirit. But we're here to talk specifically about marriage. And so the first thing that our wives need, and God created them this way, with a need for us as husbands to love them the way that Christ loved the church. Okay, so now let's move into this second thing that your wife needs the investment from you. And that is, your wife needs the investment of your security, of your security. And I want to call your attention where I'm getting this from is from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, where he says, likewise, ye husbands, watch this now, dwell with them. Okay, now, he's not talking about y'all living in the same house. Because chances are you live in the same house with your bride. It's not talking about you putting your feet under the same table for dinner or you sleeping in the same bed at night. That's not what he's talking about when he gives the command to every single man who has taken a wife that it is our responsibility to dwell with them. Now let's talk for a minute about this word dwell. The word dwell suggests being closely aligned. And we'll pick up in our notes there. Being closely aligned. Being completely at home with. You ever go to somebody's house and you just feel like, man, I feel like I'm in the way. And then you go to other people's house and it's like, wow, I just feel like I'm home. Okay, there's a lot of couples that go through their whole life and they're never feeling at home. They're never settled. Another nuance of the word is being or having a deep down togetherness. A deep down togetherness. I love the way that God in His Word defines the Word of God for us. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 13, the word dwell is defined for us biblically as a settled place. Do you hear that? A settled place. And all of this to say, all of what this is describing for us is security. And I'm suggesting to every man in this room that what your wife needs you to invest on a daily basis and for the rest of your life is you need to make sure that you have made a priority that your wife is secure. And the reason that I think God commands this of us, and I will remind you that this is the verse where at the end of the verse he says, and if you don't do this, your prayers will be hindered. Okay, so God had to command this of us. I think the reason that he did, and the reason that most marriages don't have any of these words that we're talking about, they don't have that deep down togetherness, is because the men, we men, I'm throwing myself right in the big fat middle of it, okay? I'm not just telling y'all, this is for me, okay? It's because we've never really understood that the responsibility for providing in our home this atmosphere of being closely aligned and at home in this deep down togetherness and creating an environment that it is a settled place, that God, fellas, has given us that responsibility. And what's crazy is most men on this planet, most Christian men, think that's my wife's job. That's her job to create that environment. And maybe that's why most homes are struggling, is because they don't get that that is the man's responsibility. Again, fellas, I hope that this, for some of us, might be a great wake-up call to understand that the job to provide the atmosphere of intimacy in the relationship that we have in our home is given to us as men. See, a lot of men have this idea, you know, my job is at the office, or my job's at the factory, or at the store, or at the shop, or wherever. Her job is the marriage. Her job's the home. Her job's everything that relates to any of that stuff. Okay, and I don't want to make you mad this morning, but here we go. Listen, that may be the way your daddy did it. And it may be the way that your friends do it. But I want to make sure that you understand before you leave this conference that that's not the way that God designed for our homes to function. And what I hope you can see is God is telling us to provide this for our wife because He knows what she needs. Do you understand that, fellas? Listen, when sin came into this world, something happened to us as men. And we got what I call, we were Dane Bramaged. We don't think right, man. Okay, and so God has to say, okay, fellas, okay, I know you're not going to think of this on your own. It's your job to provide an atmosphere in your home where it is a settled place. And again, God tells us that because of how He created our wife. And He knows that by her very basic design, that she needs you as her husband. She needs you to dwell with her. She needs to know that you want an intimate love relationship with her. And I'm not talking about sex. Everybody knows, every man in this room wants that kind of intimate relationship. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what 1 Peter 3:7 is talking about when it's talking about dwelling with your wife. And so what God does is He bottom lines His intention for us, telling us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 what we need to know as men. And God knows that a wife is desperate for love, as we talked about last night, because she's desperate for security. And I put this as a note in your notes so that you make sure that you understand this very loud and clear. She will never really be secure unless you love her as Christ loved the church. You see, these two go hand in hand. We've got to love her the way that Christ loved the church and provide for her the security that Christ has provided for us. And so you know what we're forced to do again? We're forced to ask ourselves the question, okay, so if God is telling husbands, you love your wife the way that Christ loved the church, and part of loving her that way is dwelling with her so that she has the security that he knows that she needs. So how did Christ do that with his bride? Anybody here a part of the bride of Christ? It's a crazy thing, fellas. We are a husband to our bride, and yet we are a bride to our husband. And you might want to just make sure that you are being a real good bride to your husband. This is probably as good as any place to interject this. Can I borrow your notes, bro? Thank you. Did you answer that? Hey, can I hold your notes? Okay. But it's kind of like this, fellas. Our husband is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are the bride of Christ. And so to kind of give us a wake-up call, what he does is he uses our bride to mirror back to us the kind of bride that we are to our husband. So fellas, listen, if you are all cheesed off at your bride, you may want to go and fix some things in your relationship with your husband, and it'll be amazing how your bride will follow suit. And all God's people said. Okay, now that was free. We didn't have time for it, but so that take that off of the time. That didn't count. Okay, but how did Christ build security, or how does Christ build security in his bride? And you know what, fellas? Listen, if we'll step back from it biblically, what you'll find is that our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're struggling with that concept, 2 Corinthians 11 verses 2 and 3 talks about the fact that our salvation has caused us to be espoused to him as our one husband. Okay? So, as our husband, how does he build security into us? And again, if we'll step back from the Word of God and just begin to look at what he says, it is amazing the lengths that he has gone to make sure that we have security in our relationship with him. And so, if we're going to provide that for our wife, and we're to do it the way that Christ does it for us, then maybe we ought to just look at some of these things, because I think it can get really practical for us. So how does he do it? Because however he does it with his bride, that's the way that we're to do it with our bride. And the way that Christ does it, number one, he does it through the assurance of his never-ending love. Through the assurance of his never-ending love. Don't you love Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, where he asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he begins to list some options that might be a possibility. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 38, he comes to this conclusion. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. I think he's pretty much covered the gamut. shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, and that's a wonderful, powerful truth that shows us the security that we have of Christ's never-ending love for us. And it's wonderful, but what I hope every man will hear is that's exactly what your bride needs from you. And the practical mandate here is your wife needs to know in her heart that nothing can separate her from your love. Do you hear that, fellas? I'm not
asking you to make eyes with your wife. Don't look over at her right now. Okay.
Is your wife right now sitting here listening to that going, And I was doing that in a positive way. That's my man right there. I have the security of his never-ending love. Does your wife, is she thinking that right now, fellas? Or does she worry about it? Because as long as she's worried about it, she's not dwelling. And you're not dwelling with her. And your prayers will be hindered. Hate to keep bringing that up. But it is a nice little backdrop. Number two, how does Christ build security into His bride? Through the assurance of His ever-continuing faithfulness. Can somebody say amen to that, man? Praise God for His faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He that calleth you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. If we believe not yet, He abideth faithful. And again, we relish in the fact of our husband's faithfulness to us. But fellows, does your wife have that assurance? The practical mandate here is your wife needs to know in her heart that no one could cause you to be unfaithful to her. And I wonder right now, as we're dutifully filling in our little notes, if the woman that's sitting next to us is going, man, I wish I had that security. Listen, she ought to be so secure in her relationship with you that she is absolutely convinced that there is not another woman on this planet that could ever take her place. And she needs to hear that from you a lot. And not only does she need to hear it, but she needs to see it. She should never see you looking at another woman. She should never hear you talking about how fine some other woman is. If she is going to be secure, and if you're going to be dwelling with her the way that God intended, she must be convinced of your faithfulness to her. And one of the best ways to provide that security is in her confidence of your faithfulness to God. Are you hearing that, fellas? Man, if she looks at your life and doesn't see that you are faithful to your husband, it's going to cause her to have some real uneasiness while you're out of the house about 10 hours a day, wondering how faithful you're being to her. I think your wife needs to know that you would never be unfaithful to her. First and foremost, because you'd never be that unfaithful to your God. Your relationship with Christ is a big, hairy deal when it comes to your relationship with your bride. Number three, how does He provide security for us? Through the assurance of His always listening ear. And all the ladies said, y'all are sweet. Kind of. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Listen to this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Let me give you top 10 reasons to pray. Number one, the God of the universe said He would listen to you. And with that, you don't need the other nine. Isn't that the truth? Are you kidding me right now? The God of the universe said that He would listen and I could have that kind of confidence in Him. Wow. How awesome is that? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12 says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with what, y'all? With confidence by the faith of Him. Listen, you know what that is? That's security, y'all. The confidence we have, that boldness to enter into His presence. And if we're there and asking things according to His will, man, He's hearing us. Hallelujah. Psalm 34 and verse 17, the righteous cry. Listen, I know it's simple, man, but it is so profound. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. And the practical mandate here, fellas, is your wife needs to know in her heart that you care enough to listen to her. You know, it's a weird thing. How this works with that male and female created He them thing that we talked about last night. You know, we come home and she starts telling us about her day and all the problems that she's faced. And something in our brain tells us that, okay, she's telling me this because she wants me to fix all of this stuff. And she no more has the first 50 things out of her mouth before. Well, you know, all you had to do was, or all you had to say was, well, I don't know why you did that. I don't know why you just don't. Again, that's the difference between that man and woman thing. Listen, y'all, fellas, she doesn't tell us all of this stuff because she wants us to tell them how to tell me how to fix this, because I'm such a village idiot. I could never, I couldn't have survived this day without you. And that's why I'm telling you all this right now, because please fix me. She's telling us all of this because she's a woman. It's the way that God created her. And you know what she needs? Same thing that you need as a bride with your husband. To have the confidence that with whatever you bring, I'm listening, man. Speak on. Okay, now, fellas, I'm not talking about acting like you're listening. We know how to do that, too, don't we? I'm talking about really listening. You know, not with that glazed over look in your eyes. Because, listen, if you listen to the little stuff, she knows that she can tell you the big stuff. And she really wants to tell you the big stuff. But she ain't going to tell you the big stuff if you ain't listening to the little stuff. Okay, I hate to be Debbie Downer and, you know, keep bringing it back to, you know, some negative stuff. But I've witnessed, in, again, almost four decades of ministry, women that get themselves involved with another man. And it's not, fellas, because she needed or wanted sex. What she needed and what she wanted was someone to listen to her. And there's plenty of men that would like to have sex with your wife that will listen like crazy. And the way that God commanded us, because we're Dane Bramaged and we couldn't get it otherwise, He tells us to dwell with our wife, to give her that security. And one of the ways that we do that is we love her enough to listen to her without thinking she needs me to fix this. Okay, then next, how does Christ build security into His bride? Through the assurance of His overarching good intentions. Through the assurance of His overarching good intentions. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. How many times in a year do we go and hang on Romans chapter 8 and verse 28? Right? And we know. Okay, we have this confidence, man. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, one of the things that helps us in a time of struggle is just knowing that God has good intentions for us. And this is all working according to His good plan. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the practical mandate that we can learn from this, fellas, is your wife needs to know in her heart that she can trust you to always have her best interest in mind. If you've lost your way on why we're doing this, let me just remind you, we have great security in the relationship that we have with Christ as our husband. We're to love our wife the way that Christ loved the church. And so how He has built this loving security into us is how we will do it. Your wife needs to know that regardless of what is going on, that my husband has the best intentions in the world for me. Number five, through the assurance, He builds this security into us through the assurance of His non-threatening reactions. Hello? Through His non-threatening reactions. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And what we learn from this, the practical mandate, fellas, is your wife needs to know in her heart that she does not have to fear your condemnation. How long you want me to talk about this, ladies? but fellas, okay, so things just happen in life. You know what I'm talking about? Things don't always go the way that we plan or intend and all of that. Sometimes, as men, we make mistakes. And we make big ones. And you know what? Sometimes our wife does, too. And I'm just asking you to process in your mind, as she's thinking about telling you the stupid mistake that she made, what's going through her mind? Oh, crap. he is going to freak out of his mind. I've got to prepare myself to be berated for the next hour or 10. Is that the way you deal with your husband? Oh, crap. And how does he treat us? Is it the next 10 hours? Man, we don't fear that with our husband. We go to him, we own our stuff, and what does he do? He loves us through it, man. Fellas, please, hear that. Your wife needs that. That's why he's commanding you to dwell with your wife. How does he build security into his bride? Number 6, to the assurance of his non-forsaking presence. Through the assurance of his non-forsaking presence. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, oh, listen to what he said, y'all. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, listen, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the practical mandate that we learn from this is your wife needs to know in her heart that she will never have to face the difficulties and trials of life alone. She needs to have confidence every day of her life to where it is the biggest no-brainer in the history of earth that you are going to be with her regardless of the circumstances. Isn't that what you vowed before God, before a group of people when you married her? In sickness and in health, forsaking all others, keeping only unto her as long as you both shall live. Okay. That isn't just random terminology, man. She needed a man in her life that she knows is always going to be with her. And then number 7, how does Christ build security into his bride? Through the assurance of his heartfelt compassion and help. Through the assurance of his heartfelt compassion and help. Listen with fresh ears to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Okay, and because the God of the universe became a man, suffered through everything that we suffered through in humanness, now what he's saying is he has ascended, he's our great high priest, and as we go through the trials and difficulties and sufferings of life, listen, y'all, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you understand that if God wouldn't have become a man and we're going through all this stuff down here, we would probably be saying, yeah, that's easy for you to say because you've never done this. And he took that argument away. And not just to take the argument away. He's touched, man, with the feeling of our infirmities. He feels what we feel. And because he does, man, Look at verse 16 again. Man, we come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the practical mandate here is your wife needs to know in her heart that you will always seek to feel what she feels and do whatever you can do. They're going to need a little help on this slide, sis. Your wife needs to know in her heart that you will always seek to feel what she feels and do whatever you can to help her in her time of need. Now, I know we just took a long time to talk about something that doesn't get talked about very much in terms of responsibilities that we have as a husband. But, wow, fellas, I think your wife would want to not embarrass you right now. And so, ladies, don't say amen right now. But I think that the women in this room right now are going, I hope he's hearing this. Because they need it. God designed them as a woman to desire that from the man in their life, and that is why God commands us to offer that. And as I move into this next point, Pastor Brian, I've forgotten what time this session ends. What's at the front of the book? I'll try to. I'm sorry. Okay, I can do this. Okay, maybe. Okay, so next, let's move into this next thing. Your wife is desperate and needs the investment of your honor. Your wife needs the investment of your honor. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we just looked at the first part of that verse. He says, likewise, dwell with your wives. And again, that was what we've talked about for the last 45 minutes. And let me just add this little thing. He says, according to knowledge. Okay, so what that lets you know is, yeah, there's women have a lot of similarities, but they're all different. Okay? And in terms of dwelling with your wife, you need to dwell with her according to knowledge. You need to know your wife, not everybody else's. You need to know your wife and make her secure based off of who she is. And it's not simple enough to say, well, you know, Ralph over there, his wife, well, who cares about Ralph and his wife? You're married to your wife and are to dwell with her according to knowledge. If we get some time, I'll have to share a little story about me learning to dwell with my wife according to knowledge. But I want to make sure that we keep on track here this morning. Okay. But next, your wife needs the investment of your honor. Okay. Now, just like we looked at the word dwell, the word honor suggests attaching high value to someone or something. Another nuance of the word would be placing worth on someone or something. Now listen, chances are real good that there's quite a few men in this room this morning that know that things aren't right in your marriage. And I'm not trying to be funny here. You just don't know what it is. And what some of your wives are trying to say to you, if you could actually hear it, don't say amen here, ladies. What some of your wives are wanting to say, if we had the ears to hear it, is she feels like everything in the world is more important to you than she is to you. She thinks, okay, I'm not saying it's true, but if she thinks that, it's true to her. And that's the world you live in. But I'm serious. If some of the women in this room could be honest, some of the women think that the TV set is more important to you than she is to you. Because it gets, when you get home, it gets a whole lot more of your attention than she does. Some of the wives in this room think that the stinking newspaper is more important than she is. Or your sporting activity, your weights, your golf, your basketball, your hobby. Some of the wives think that your job is more important to you than she is to you. Some of our wives think that other people are more important to you than she is to you. She feels, a lot of the women in this room feel like they don't even matter. And God has commanded us to make sure that our wife never feels like there's anything more important to you than Jesus. It's interesting. I've noticed through the years, you know, in my early days in the ministry, I worked with young couples. And so we would do a lot of activities and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff that young couples do when you don't have kids and all of that. And so we would be in a big gathering of people and, you know, everyone's just all loose and talking and everything. And so some wife would say some little thing, and everybody would laugh, except for her husband, who would go, "What in the world are you even talking about?" You know, and just belittle her in front of the whole group of people. And back in those days, I used to think to myself, you know what? If my wife said that, that guy would never in a million years say that to my wife, right? And we haven't been commanded to honor everybody else's wife. We've been commanded to honor one woman on this planet, fellas. I'm not saying treat everybody else like trash. But the reality is, we treat our wife like trash and honor everybody else's wife. Have I mentioned Dane Bramage? There's one woman that God has commanded us to honor. And again, it is the most mind-boggling thing in the world to me. That we honor every other woman except the one that God commanded us to, and the one that God said that if you don't honor her, it will hinder your prayers, man. God says, honor her. Honor her, first of all, because she is precious. And that's what he says here in the middle of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Okay, listen, fellas, make sure you get this. Your wife understands this already, but maybe we need to get this. She's not mentally or intellectually weaker. She's not spiritually weaker, but she is physically weaker. And emotionally weaker, and she's precious. It's maybe a way to get your head wrapped around it is, yeah, we're one now that we're married, but we're like a thermos, okay? And we are that, you know, some of you guys work out in the field and all that. You got your thermos, and that thing is chipped and battered and dented and all that. But on the inside of that thermos is this thin little piece of is that glass? That little piece of glass that, man, if it didn't have that protection on the outside, man, that thing wouldn't last 2 seconds in your truck. And that's what your wife is, man. She is the inside of that thermos. And we are to honor her, God says, because she's the weaker vessel. And again, not less than in any kind of way. It's not like you go, hey, you know, that's the unimportant part of the thermos, the glass shell inside. No, that's the important part. And so it needs to be honored. It needs to be protected by that outward thing that's all chipped and jacked up. That's us, fellas. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 goes on to tell us, secondly, honor her because she's your partner. Because she's your partner. He says, that honor, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Listen to it. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. Okay, notice the words that he uses here. We're heirs with our wife. We are joint participants. We are together in this thing. And we're, notice that he doesn't say heirs together in life, but heirs together in the grace of life. A grace is that which affords us joy and pleasure and delight. And that's, you know what I just described? Not too many couples experience the grace of life together. You're just doing life, man. And the next thing you know, we're in a box. And life is over, man. And what God intended for us to experience as joint heirs together in this grace of life, to be able to have a partner to do life with, some of us have never really tapped into what that thing is all about. Okay, let me give you three practical mandates, and I'm going to miss it by about 2 minutes, y'all. Three practical mandates. First of all, your wife needs to know in her heart that she holds the place of prominence in your life. We didn't have time to really get into it last night. We talked about loving your wife the way that Christ loved the church from Ephesians 5. But you know, he goes on in that passage to say, to love your wife even as you love yourself. Have you ever thought about how we love ourselves? When my body is warm, you know what I do? I find a way to cool it. When I'm cold, I find a way to warm it. When it's hungry, I find a way to feed it. When it's tired, I find a way to rest it. When it stinks, I find a way to clean it. When it's sick, I find a way to medicate it. When it's sore, I find a way to comfort it. You know what? I take pretty good care of myself, don't I? God says, fellas, what I'm talking about is just love her the way you love your sorry self. Oh, okay. I get that. Do for her, honor her the way that you honor yourself. She needs to know that she has the place of prominence in your life. Next, your wife needs to know in her heart that she holds the place of preeminence in your life. Will you give to your wife the same honor that you give yourself? Or how about this? This will hit a certain group of people in the room. Will you give your wife the same honor that you give your customers? You know how you deal with them? Will you give to her the same honor that you give to all the other ladies in church? Okay, this will be free. We don't have time for it, but here it goes. You know, I think a lot of kids rebel because they see their dad treat their mama like trash in the home and go to church and treat all the other women the way that they're supposed to treat their mama. We're a picture of whom? Christ? And maybe that's why they flake out on it. Next, your wife needs to know in her heart that she holds the place of a princess in your life. You know how you would treat a princess? The honor that you would give? That's what God's talking about. Give her that kind of honor. Okay, listen. And then, do you know what the next statement is? That your prayers be not hindered. Fellas, God takes this really, really, really seriously. And for the Lord's glory's sake, I hope you'll take it as serious as He takes it. Lord, thank You for the Word of God.